we've been documenting African-American artists in the South for 20 or 30 years, and one of them told me many years ago that when he was a little boy in the second grade or so, the teacher was asking each of the children what they wanted to be when they grew up, and he said, well, I want to make art. And the teacher said, art's for white people. This was an African-American teacher in an African-American classroom. African-American children were not encouraged to make things that were creative, so they didn't grow up thinking, I'm going to be an artist, I'm going to make art. However, they did it anyway.
Banks of Jericho, my Lord said, come on in, I'll meet you there.
This is a story about a place where people did make art, despite all the obstacles put in their way. G's Bend, Alabama, a place that's become a modern legend. It's a Cinderella story, with a bunch of elderly African-American quilters as heroines. It's a story about women who had no money and no opportunities, whose spirits were so rich and whose vision was so great that they took the scraps they had and created an art today that hangs in the nation's finest museums. And Strange Hems has more.
The first time I saw G's Bend quilt, it hit me like a punch in the gut. I've loved quilts all my life. One of my earliest baby pictures shows me lying naked on a double wedding ring quilt that my great-grandmother made. The G's Bend quilts are not like anything I've ever seen before. They're made of worn denim and corduroy, old sheets and flannel shirts. The stitching is uneven. The patterns are huge and irregular, like large-scale geometries and big color fields. They look kind of like what an abstract painter like Paul Klee or Frank Stella might have made if he knew how to hold a needle. My great-grandmother's quilt is very pretty. The G's Bend quilts are something a whole lot stronger than pretty, like the women who made them.
We didn't have nothing. What little we had, we took it and made it. We weren't blessed with cars and all these washing machines and things, but people were smart. They worked it together. They helped one another. They shared with one another. We worked for the white people and made them rich and left us poor.
If one has not been there, one cannot imagine how isolated it really is. It's at the end of a long road and almost nobody goes there, and there are only a few hundred residents scattered about. It's not like a town, it's just an isolated little group of houses and people. And most of them over the years have made quilts that are now recognized as being among most important works of art in American history.
That's Bill Arnett. He's a collector who spent 30 years researching and documenting African-American artists. 6 years ago, he ran across a photograph of quilt maker Annie Mae Young. She was standing in front of a quilt draped over a wood pile in her yard.
The quilt was so good, it wasn't just a quilt. I mean, I had collected a number of quilts over the years, and I would go sometimes fairly great distances to meet a quilt maker if I thought quilt maker was in some ways remarkable, but this was a quilt that I had never seen the likes of.
What did it look like?
It was a quilt made out of denim work clothes and corduroy. It was blue and orange and yellow. It was just quite a remarkable quilt, and unlike anything I had ever seen. Haven't even seen anything since.
When Arnett found Annie Mae Young, she introduced him to her friends, and it turned out in this one tiny, isolated community, there were hundreds of quilt masterpieces stashed away in closets and stuffed under beds. There were quilts going back 3 and 4 generations, and all with these powerful, original designs. Now, one thing I've puzzled over is, what makes the G's Bend quilts so fascinating, so compelling to the people who see them? And partly I think it's that there's something confounding about them. I mean, how did women who'd never seen or even heard of modern abstract art make quilts that embody its principles? How could women who lived such impoverished lives develop such a rich artistic vision? I guess that's the mysteriousness of all original art. No one can tell you where it comes from, not even the artist.
Well, I started making quilts. I was young, I was young when I started making quilts. When I started, I didn't even know how to make a quilt, you know, too good. I just got some pieces, sewed them together. Piecing all these fancy quilts, just do my way, you know.
See, my mom tell me, come on, Lonzo, and help me get these pants legs and things straight and cut them out for me. And I would sit there and rip them loose, you know, and cut the good part off. Because in those days, you wasn't able to go to the store and buy just quilt pattern, something to make quilts out. You just had to get dress tails and skirt tails and pant legs and shirt sleeves to make quilts out.
Oh, please.
When I come home, I do my chores. I wash, I clean yard, I mop, I cook. I kept my kids clean, I fixed their clothes, I ironed their clothes, and then I would go to quilting, and I would quilt then until about 2 or 3 o'clock in the night.
The quilts that Bill Arnett bought for as little as $40 a piece now sell in the five figures, and the prices are still going up. If you can't afford an original, Anthropology is bringing out a line of reproductions. It's also ironic. A few years ago, a quilting cooperative in a nearby town refused to hire Annie Mae Young. They said her stitching wasn't good enough. Now there's a whole section of her quilts in the G's Bend Museum show. Of course, anything that brings money to the people of G's Bend has to be a good thing. It makes me feel a little uncomfortable seeing the quilts commercialized, like maybe this is just a new chapter in the old story of the white romanticization of the so-called primitive. It was white culture that kept places like G's Bend down. And so now there'll be a bunch of affluent white people with G's Bend quilts hanging on their walls. Maybe that's a good thing.
It's a good thing to think that I did some work that somebody thought it was good enough to put on a wall. They were just something I just was doing to get those clothes about the house and get rid of some of the stuff that the children wasn't wearing anymore. It wasn't good enough to give to anybody to wear. So I just thought it was okay to put it in a quilt. And it can go on a bed and keep somebody warm and comfortable.
Like my great-grandmother's quilt. It's the only thing I have of hers. It's all I know about her. She lived and died before I was even born, but her DNA flows in my veins. And when I curl up under her quilt, I'm surrounded by the love and caring she stitched into our family, piece by piece.
The Quilts of G's Bend exhibition opens in June at the Cleveland Museum of Art. We heard the voices of Annie Mae Young, Arlanzia Petway, Loretta Petway, and Essie Bendolph Petway from the documentary that accompanies the exhibit, and Strange Champs produced the piece.